Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Today is a day where, you know, it's pretty easy to lean on a guy that's like the size of a house. And that's what Hugh is. So he's, you know, big Hugh, 5'3".
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. I got to read this tweet. You can find us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. We'll get to the top three at 6. And then Wes Drew Ham is set to join us. The voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He also does ACC Network. We're going to find out about ACC Media Days. And guess what? Georgia Tech was there today. So at least Coach Collins and his players. So we will talk to Wes about all of that coming up here in about 20 minutes. In regards to the Braves, and it's just funny because Tim Wilson is an avid listener. He actually drew. He's an artist. He drew Mike and I a few years back and sent it to us, and it was really cool, and he does renditions of different things in sports. But he's a huge sports fan here in Atlanta, and he says, off-season Braves, hashtag Braves need new manager. New pitching coach, at least three new arms in the bullpen, one reliable veteran starter, a lefty power bat, and he goes on and on.
Right.
And it just made me laugh, and I literally responded, said, anything else, Tim? And he was like, well, a full head of hair for me.
Hey, well, I got a guy for that, too. We got a guy. We get North Atlanta Hair Restoration. Girl, we can affect all this guy's needs if we could just get Liberty Media to sell the team.
So Tim is balding or bald, but bottom line is, I read this because this is how a lot of you feel. All of this is not going to happen.
Remind me again why it was smart to start Bryce Wilson over Charlie Morton. Could you help me out with that again one more time?
Give Morton extra rest?
Yeah. Anyway, 5-0 Padres.
So, Tim, I appreciate that. It made me laugh because this is what I'm hearing. You know, we need this, this, and this, and this. How do we go from being so good to all of a sudden we need a laundry list of things?
No, I mean, look, Will Smith, I mean, we know all the blown bullpen saves, you know. I mean, you know, we need Melanson. It's so tough to see him over there wearing the old school McDonald's uniforms they're wearing with the Padres. It's just, you know, we did not, and again, nobody could foresee the Soroka thing. So that I don't put that on Alex. But when things like that happen, you got to pivot. You know, and all these, this is why I talk. And by the way, when I was ranting and raving last break, no, I mean, there's guys, I don't know what Pache or Waters or Contreras is going to be. I know Contreras is going to work on his defensive play, but there's so many things, Carl, that you can't control.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, who knew that Ozuna was going to have the domestic violence situation? And
you're
most likely never going to play again for the Braves or in baseball. You know, and I hope that's not the case, but I just don't know where else it's going to go. And then, of course, you know, Darnell, one good year he's healthy, the other year he's broken. This is the broken year, you know. And then Ozuna, that was just, Ronald Acuna, that's just, the cherry on top of this crap Sunday. But you still have a strong enough nucleus where this team could be winning. But today the pitching is just, again, this is start. Now it's the front end, not the back end, because the starter, Bryce, is not doing anything right today.
So one of the story that's out there, Mike and I have brought this up. We've talked about it. Reports that Texas and Oklahoma inquired about joining the SEC in a potential massive shakeup. You'd have a 16-team super conference. I know you hear this and you go, when is this going to happen?
Right.
I don't know when we're talking about, but the idea alone has people shook. That Texas and Oklahoma reportedly reached out and said, what's up over there? So a buddy of mine just sent me this, and it made me laugh because Texas A&M's AD just got word, and he was like, oh, hell no. His name's Ross Bork, and he basically said, quote, we want to be the only SEC team from the state of Texas. If you're not familiar with this history, this is why A&M ended up in the SEC. They were second fiddle to Texas. Texas started the Texas Longhorn Network. They were not willing to share the money. They did not go all in like the SEC network, and people thought it was a mistake. And I still do think it was. But A&M was like, cool, peace. And they left, and everybody said they weren't going anywhere. And it's been incredible for A&M. They've added to their stadium. Their revenues are up.
Right. So they've even beat Alabama with Johnny Football. I mean, they've had some moments. I mean, it hasn't translated to an SEC championship.
No.
I mean, I don't think Texas A&M is ever going to win an SEC championship, to be honest with you. But I do think they'll crawl. You're right. And then remember, Nebraska also split because they didn't like the way the cookie was crumbling in the Big 12.
Yeah, so Nebraska, they went to the wrong conference.
That was the stupidest move. I mean, Nebraska better off in the Pac-12, for crying out loud. But anyway, now you got, by the way, everyone has had to scramble. So the SEC has to issue a statement saying, look, that's something from unnamed sources, and we don't know what that is about. Oklahoma State releases a statement. You see this one, Carl? We have heard unconfirmed reports that OU and UT approached the Southeastern Conference. We are gathering information and will monitor closely. I mean, nobody even asked them for an opinion on this. We would be gravely disappointed. While we place a premium on a history, loyalty, and trust, be assured we will aggressively defend and advance what is best for Oklahoma State and our strong athletic program.
So here's the other side. Well, yes, because it destroys the conference, plain and simple.
Somebody also said there's something in the books that if Oklahoma goes, OK State has to go too.
Which is why Oklahoma didn't leave the Big 12 originally.
Because nobody wants Oklahoma State.
I'm just saying. Who doesn't want Texas and Oklahoma? Two cash cows. Two relevant programs. And even if you don't think they are, that would be a huge SEC footprint. I mean, it already is big in A&M because, you know, now you can go to Texas and say, hey, your parents can watch you at Florida or at Alabama and Georgia, where before you couldn't say that. I'll say this, and it's just one of those stories we're keeping an eye on because it's out there. I think that where there's smoke, this is how this all starts. You go back to the conference shakeups, you know, a decade ago, and everybody went, oh, they'll never leave, and everybody split. If you are the SEC, you're interested. This is monumental, monumental dollars.
Right, exactly.
Okay? If you're the SEC, you're interested. I don't care what you think should happen, and I don't want any more schools. If you're telling me the SEC, as strong as it is going to add Texas and Oklahoma, forget about it. So if I'm taking that phone call, Mike, and if I'm the commissioner, I don't know who was in on this, you're listening. But I don't know when or if this will ever take place. It's just out there.
I mean, it does create. It's how would it work? We're just having fun with this because again, everybody's going. But the world has gone off its axis in college football about this. You would my first thinking immediately would be that Auburn comes into the East. You know, and but then again, you know, there's so many different ways you could do this. You know, potentially. Obviously, are you going to say geographically? So then Texas A&M and Oklahoma.
Well, see,
with Alabama in a Western division? You got to be kidding me.
So the other part is A&M doesn't want to. I was about to say.
Well, A&M would block this 7 ways to Sunday.
But they don't want to play Texas. So if you do this, yes, then you've got to create that natural rivalry of you two have to play again. They haven't wanted to play for a while, and they're not looking forward to it.
A lot of hurt feelings.
So that's another hurdle, right? But what conquers all hurdles, Mike, before we get to the top
three?
Money. Money. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now let's see what we have here.
All right, guys. Top three, as always, brought to you by our friends at New Realm Brewing. Check out the Beach Crusher Variety 12-pack. They've got their top sellers like Hazy Like a Fox, the IPA, Hoptropolis IPA. Track them down using the beer finder near you. Today, as we said, we've been watching the Braves game one, L game two. Now we're down 5-0. Last night the Braves did win, so they'll wrap up this series with the Padres tonight as this thing gets to 7 innings. Remember, short doubleheaders. Mm-hmm. And then they will move on, Mike, to play the Phillies before playing 5 games with the Mets. I don't want to say time's running out to figure out what you want to do. Maybe Alex Anthopoulos knows what he wants to do. Freddie went deep last night, you know, and we won 2-1. But today the offense has been for the most part. It started to heat up in game one, but Mike said it. We ran out of time.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating because, you know, we've talked about, you know, can Austin Riley get hot? All those conversations you and I had right before the All-Star break about what this team's going to do. You know, Freddie, by the way, I mean, the big home run last night, we already talked about the great effort by Tukey Toussaint. Freddie is now up to 284. So Freddie's doing his thing, Carl. He'll be up to 300 before you know it, and the OPS is slowly rising because I know, as you said last week, it's been bad for him by his lofty standards.
Standards, yeah.
But, you know, and we've given up on the spark game, right? Where we're gonna remember the time that Dansby burned the sage. That was going to be the big turnaround. Remember that?
Of course.
All these big comebacks. This is the comeback. Oh, the game. We came back against the Mets. There's a. It's just, and I hate to be dragged into the dark side on this conversation, but it just afternoons like this get me in that mindset of a lot of Braves fans who said that it's a foregone conclusion that even though the Mets are not running away with it, this team wouldn't do anything in the postseason.
Lots of baseball to play.
I know, and I hate to be, but when you can't validate the team being buyers unless you close this gap or maintain it, and the Mets, exactly as we said, are not. It's the perfect scenario, but the Mets aren't running away. The Braves need to do something. Not doing anything. They're going to lose. They lose this. They're losing four of the first six to start the second half.
Correct. And that's what we're keeping an eye on, right? The first 10 games, first 12 games, we wanted to see how they came out. Last night, Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks crowned the NBA champs. This is a really cool soundbite, man, because Giannis is talking about, you know, could I have gone and joined up with somebody and maybe won a championship and been not as relevant or dominant. This is what we talk about all the time. This is James Harden, right? As great as he is. Oh, MVP, he's the best scorer ever in the history of the game. I'm going to go play with Durant and Kyrie. Giannis says, I didn't do that.
Coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done, you know. But that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it.
Yeah.
We did it, man.
I do have more respect for this guy every time I hear him speak, and I love that. That's right, Durant. He did it in Milwaukee, Carl. Right. He didn't go to San Francisco.
Right.
He did it in Milwaukee.
Well, I'm hoping we do it in Atlanta. We said this. You watch this series, you see how close we were, our young core. Decisions will be made here over the next few weeks that change, you know, the direction potentially of this franchise. If we decide to move on from John Collins and what we do from that point on, we'll be talking about it and keeping an eye out on all the moves with our Atlanta Hawks now. The offseason, very important. You just can't sit and go, oh, we had a pretty good year. Let's see what happens. The core is here. And Ryan McDonough, former general manager, said we got to continue to develop this group. But that big decision on JC is coming up. Hey, Atlanta United in action tonight, Mike. What happens? The coverage, by the way, starts at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Kick is at 8. We know the managerial change. By the way, tomorrow on this show, Darren Eels is going to join us, president of Atlanta United. He had something come up on Tuesday. We were scheduled to join us then, but he will be here tomorrow. What do you think happens tonight?
Well, new skipper. I mean, the guy's been around with a Atlanta United 2. You would think if everybody was as miserable as they say they were under Gabriel Heinze that they're going to be able to really rock and roll. See, Cincinnati, an expansion team, is not a great team. And Joseph's on the field. So, I mean, I'm watching tonight. I mean, this Braves game should be over by then. So I'm kind of looking forward to, you know, to seeing this team look like the Atlanta United that we all fell in love with a couple of years ago. I don't know if I can do that overnight, but I would think there'd be a lot of guys happy to get things rolling. Sometimes this thing ends, it results in a big bounce, right?
Yeah, it does. And I think the things that Joseph said went a long way with a lot of guys. I mean, maybe those guys knew this stuff already, but again, I think it was idiotic for him not to be on the pitch over the weekend, and that was the last straw with all the other stuff we found out. Maybe tonight they play loose, and we're able to get one. You'll be able to listen and right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I butchered the name. It's Rob Valentino is the new interim coach, a fourth coach if you count the interims in the last year. But Rob will try to get things going, and, you know, we talked about it. You know, everybody's upset about it. All those old conversations came up about all the guys that we lost and we never replaced, from Miggy to Nagby to Gressel. You know, can Brooks Lennon and this guy start getting on the same page? I mean, there's a lot of young faces, a lot of new faces. There is the one thing that they did say is true, though. There's still a long way to go in the season.
All right, guys. Nick Saban today talking about Alabama. A lot of people think they are going to be back in the SEC championship game. Connor Riley, who joins us from Dog Nation, said he picked Alabama in his media poll to be SEC champs again. That doesn't mean Georgia won't be there. But again, Saban just continues to roll. We're going to switch gears and talk about the ACC and Georgia Tech. West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He also does a show on ACC Network. Will join us next.
The most important story of the day.
All right, guys, we're talking about SEC Media Days. Let's shift gears and talk about ACC Media Football Days. And there is a lot going on with Jim Phillips, the new commish, joining us to talk about it. He does a show on the ACC Network, and you know him from Atlanta Falcons football as well, and maybe many other things that he's been involved in. Wes Durham joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Wes, it's good to have you back on talking some football. It's been a while, but we are back at it. I want to ask you to start about Jim Phillips saying that they are not going to basically, you know, enforce everyone get vaccinations. This has been a big topic of conversation across college football, right? Because everybody wants healthy kids. They want to make sure that everybody's able to play. You're able to get these games in. Were you surprised by Jim Phillips' comments when it came to the ACC?
Well, Carl, I think the first of all, it's great to hear your guys' voice too, and enjoyed catching you guys there in the summer. I think that what the ACC is doing is exactly the tack they took a year ago. They are reserving the advice and the guidance of the medical advisory group that really helped the ACC play football last year. Remember, too, all the conferences were on their own schedule last year, right? Some schools played only league games like the SEC and what have you. But I think what you're seeing here is that they're going to convene the medical advisory group here in another couple of weeks, see where the variant is, see what the vaccination percentage is, not only for football and other fall sports, but also these institutional vaccinations. Because of the ACC's 14 schools that play football, seven are requiring every student to be fully vaccinated by the time they return to campus if they choose to take in-person classes. Seven are not. And so they really want to kind of do this institutionally as much as the league. And to be quite frank with you, I understand. I think they will follow the same tack the Big 12 and the SEC have had, that if you're not able to play, if you can't meet the minimums, then it'll probably be a forfeit. I imagine we're going to hear that from the ACC in a couple of weeks. I think you're going to hear it from the Big 12 or the Big 10 later this week in Chicago, and then next week in California. I think you'll hear the same thing from the Pac 12.
It's kind of cool how this name, image, likeness thing is starting off. I mean, we heard Saban's comments yesterday. We just talked earlier today about DJ Uiagalelei, and now you got Sam Howell getting a Bojangles deal. So, I mean, are they embracing it? Because ACC is always probably a little more conservative than some of the other conferences.
Well, I think what you have to do, Mike, is you have to take, you know, previous affiliations and alignments out of it. These kids are, you know, they're going to cash in on name, image, and likeness. I think that the really interesting part is who's patient to, you know, see how they can, you know, make the right decisions and don't make the quick decision. Mm. You know, if, you know, Oswald's full tire shop wants to pay you $100 and give you a set of white walls, that's one thing. If somebody wants to throw seven figures at you down the road, it's another issue altogether. The other thing that's really important, and I can tell you this from talking to athletic administrators around the ACC, is that these young people have the guidance necessary. And guidance by that, I mean understanding what the tax ramifications are, understanding how the money is collected, understand what the performance clauses are to receive the money. You know, far be it from college athletics to have a nefarious attitude or two along the way. these ADs want to make sure that young people don't get themselves trapped by making an obligation that they can't fulfill one way or the other in the process.
It's a great point. It is the voice of Wes Durham, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. I want to ask you about Georgia Tech because Jeff Collins was there today. Tomorrow, this will conclude, guys, with the ACC media days, 2 days. So today it was Duke and Tech and Miami and, you know, Mack Brown in North Carolina, which we'll get to. But what did you make of Jeff Collins and what he had to say today?
Well, he's excited. I mean, I think he's got every reason to be because they played a lot of young people last year. And most notably Jeff Sims and Jahmyr Gibbs. He's also excited about the development of his offensive line. And I think if he can get that to perform, then he's probably got a really good case to be, you know, a better football team. But let's be honest here. Georgia Tech's playing the hardest schedule in the ACC and maybe playing one of the hardest schedules nationally, guys. I mean, they've got everybody but the 85 Bears and the 72 Dolphins scheduled. I mean, it's an arduous task when you think about, you know, perhaps the easiest game on the schedule being against one of the best FCS teams in the country, right?
Right, true.
I mean, I just think that the schedule may glitter or shadow a little bit of the progress, but I think they're going to be better. I think Gibbs is an incredible talent, maybe one of the best running backs in the ACC, let alone nationally, and I think the defense has got to be much improved. I think A.C. Lee, the grad transfer from Maryland, certainly brings a lot to the table. And I think they've got a lot of veteran guys who've got to go make plays for them on that side of the ball. But you can tell he's clearly excited, but then again, he's always excited. So I think it's I think it's one of the things that, that kind of drives this program now. But really what they do, I think, need to do to take the next step, Carl and Mike, is to win some ball games for sure.
And I don't really hear any pushback. I think most Georgia Tech football fans realize we use the analogy turning around a battleship. It's going to take a minute, you know. It's not a knock on Paul Johnson. It's just a completely different team. And Jeff is invigorated, you know, the fan base. He does some cool stuff that you haven't seen before. The kids want to be there.
Sure.
But it's hard to find six wins in this. And, you know, you want to hit that benchmark of, hey, let's get bowl eligible. But I just have a hard time seeing that's going to be the year for it.
Well, look at the schedule, too, Mike. I mean, every year you're going to dial up. I mean, in this particular case, they're playing Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame.
Right.
I mean, you know, go find – That's three you're probably not going to be predicted to win. You're going to play a Heisman Trophy candidate in North Carolina. I mean, I can see where they may win as many as they've won the last couple of years, and I would still say it's an improvement. But it's, you know, part of this is a bit of an equation that involves the schedule and your talent level. But I would say, you know, patience is of the virtue here if you're a Georgia Tech fan. We'll see how this goes, but they've clearly got talent on the field if they can stay healthy. The depth situation, I think that's still to be judged, but Sims and Gibbs are the real deal. And if the offensive line's improved, I like their chances to improve on the win total for sure.
Are we sleeping on Miami? I know De'Ara King transferred.
Oh, wait a second. You can't say sleep to a team that keeps telling you they're back sometimes.
Well, they've been back three times, but it's been premature ejaculation down there in Miami, Wes.
Well, they're taking on Alabama to start the season, and I know that King is, you know, well liked, well spoken. The kid is smart. He's talented.
He's a great kid.
So Manny Diaz, you know, here we are again talking about the Canes and starting against, you know, oh, Alabama. I say sleeping as in, are they going to be better than what we expect?
Well, I think first of all, they've got a really talented offensive line. I think De'Ara King, and we had him on at the desk with us today. He looks great. He sounded like he is ahead of schedule in his rehabilitation and return. Their first three games are Alabama, Appalachian State, and Michigan State. I mean, you're going to learn a lot about Miami in the first three. But I would say this. When I look at where De'Ara King is, if he's near 100%, Miami will have a chance. The name that I think you need to keep in mind is Charleston Rambo, the transfer from Oklahoma. Because I think Charleston Rambo opens the field up for Mike Harley Jr. It opens the field up for Will Mallory at tight end. And they've got a really good offensive line and three proven running backs. So, I mean, Alabama will be favored, probably heavily favored. But I think Miami's up to the fight. But you can't also get caught up in a full season of football in the opening 60 minutes at Mercedes-Benz on a Saturday. It just doesn't work that way anymore. So I think Miami can contend in the Coastal, but also think there are other teams. Carolina's probably going to be the favorite. I think Pittsburgh's going to be pretty good. We talk about Georgia Tech and moderate improvement. What about Virginia Tech? I mean, Bell will tell you, the Hokie fans up there have an expectation level right. That's a little high, and it hasn't been reached the last couple of years. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Coastal falls. But then again, chaos is the norm in that division, Carl.
It is.
I mean,
right.
You know, we had, you know, Georgia Tech 1 year. It's seven different winners in 7 years. So let's be real here. If we have some simplistic race in the Coastal Division, that may be the biggest damn upset of the year.
Well, the thing about Miami is anytime that you said it, they start to get momentum. As Wes Durham joins this guy's voice of the Falcons on ACC TV as well. I mean, this guy's a multimedia star with Packer. But, Wes, the thing with Miami, that beatdown at the hands of North Carolina last year was just unbelievable. And now you mentioned Howell, and Mack Brown has done a fantastic job recruiting and getting that thing rolling. I mean, we're waiting for someone else to step up in the ACC, and I've given up hope for Virginia Tech and Fuente, to your point. I think it's Mack Brown and Carolina.
Oh, there's a shot, Carl. Mike's cashed out.
Hey, Fuente was so, brought. Hey, by the way, you just said it. Fuente doesn't do anything. They don't win big games.
Said, No. I said, Carl, there's a shock. Mike is cashed out. I didn't say anything about Fuente. You did.
Fuente has not exceeded any expectations of Virginia Tech. He is not.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just
unbelievable.
And he's had turnover at quarterback, and he's had some issues with guys off the field, too.
Well, and they've got COVID issues last year. They never got rhythm to their season. look, I know there are a lot of Hokie fans in Atlanta, right? And here's the deal.
And they've disavowed me, so don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, why worry about you when it's about me, right, Mike? All right, so here's the rub on Virginia Tech. You're going to play Carolina on a Friday night to start the year. How big a game is that for Virginia Tech, and how big a game is that for Carolina? It's enormous. They'll be shoulder to shoulder in Blacksburg. Enter Sandman will hit, and the place will move. But the thing about it is, can you match? Can you match the firepower Carolina may throw at you? Can you get stops? Can you equal it with Braxton Burmeister at quarterback and Raheem Blackshear carrying the ball and Trey Turner on the perimeter and James Mitchell at tight end? I think there's a lot to ask of a team, by the way, that's pretty good again up front. Don't forget, this is a league that's going to be powered by 13 returning quarterbacks in the 14 schools this year. I mean, that's the thing. The quarterback play in this league is as good. It's probably the best quarterback league in the country, but the teams themselves have to equal some of that performance. I think Virginia Tech is one of those. We got to kind of wait and see what happens here.
Oh, Justin Hamilton ain't Bud Foster. That's what a lot of Hokie fans say, too.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Okay. Cash out that alumni card. Let's go to Tallahassee. Finish up here. What are we doing?
Well, hey, speaking of which, Carl, let's talk about Norville. They got the kid from UCF, McKenzie Milton. He's got two knees at work right now, but I don't know what to expect from Florida State. What do you think is going to happen this year? Because he's got to get something going down there.
Sunday night against Notre Dame to start the season. McKenzie Milton and Jordan Travis are both at this event tomorrow. Florida State is bringing two quarterbacks. Why? Because they're not going to show their hand.
That's right.
They're not, and nor should they. And Mike Norvell should wait until he runs out there on a Sunday night. And you know what I'd do? I'd put Milton and Jordan Travis on the field at the same time for the first snap. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, look, Florida State's rebound is about a lot more than winning and losing football. It did not end well for Jimbo Fisher. Right? I mean, let's just face facts on that. Willie Taggart, that was probably a mistake, guys, and it's going to take a little while. Culture, depth, they're doing pretty well in recruiting, as much as I know about recruiting. So it's going to be interesting to see. But, again, I worry about teams and fan bases that on the first 60 minutes of football declare, you know, our season is X or Y. I think there's a little bit more to the process sometimes. Only Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State are those elite, elite programs right now. Florida State can get back there, but it's going to take some time, in my opinion.
And, Carl, you know, we talked about it. They finally streamlined that booster soap opera, too, Carl. That was a major problem. They got Jimbo God.
Yeah.
Got Mike's invoice tallied up down there, Carl, so he can be a Seminole booster again.
I want to ask you about Sam Howell real quick. I think he's really good, Wes.
He's really good.
I know. And I know it sounds crazy because, you know, you go Clemson and everybody else, but I think he gives North Carolina a chance to maybe win the SEC or the ACC. Do you agree?
I think he does. They would only see Clemson in the championship game at Charlotte. But I think here's the thing about Howell. He's already tied. I mean, he set a North Carolina career touchdown. But he's tied the North Carolina career touchdown mark in 2 years. I mean, his game is really, really polished. The ACC's looking at having two potential first-round quarterbacks next year, guys. Sam Howell and Phil Dracovic of Boston College.
Yep.
I mean, it's Sam Howell's the full package and a competitive guy. It was fun to talk to him today. It always is to visit with him. He gives you a really good perspective on where you got to get better as a player and how they got to get better as a team. You're going to hear all through August they've lost three quarters of their firepower, the two running backs, the two wide receivers. But they got a transfer from Tennessee and Ty Chandler, and you know, when you get Paul from Maryville to call in and talk about the Vols on the show, just ask them if they're going to miss Ty Chandler. I mean, he's the all-purpose yardage leader at UT the last 2 years. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch Carolina. I think they're better playmakers on defense this year. But, again, Friday night in Blacksburg, and then October 16th, Miami comes to Keenan Stadium. So be interesting to watch Sam Howell. I think Carolina can get the double figures, Carl, but I don't know if they can take the reins from Clemson.
Okay, good stuff, man. Because Mac Brown's doing a hell of a job there. Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. You'll hear him throughout the course of the season here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Give him an opportunity to check him out on the ACC Network. He is at ACC Media Days tomorrow. It wraps up, guys, and we'll hear from Dabo Swinney and Mike Norvell. Mike's talking about and you know, all these guys. So we'll hear what they have to say tomorrow. But today, I wanted to give you some perspective on what's going on with the ACC. Great stuff, Wes, as always, man. We appreciate you dropping by. Can't wait till football season starts here.
All right, guys. Take care. Look forward to seeing y'all soon.
Yeah, right, man.
Put some grapes, get some vines growing in that backyard, man.
All right, guys. Yeah, exactly.
Wes has got like a back 40 up there at Stately Drew and Manor. I told him, I said, you know, a Wes and Woody Cabernet would be a big seller. Don't you think?
I think you're right. He's a grapes guy. Hey, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey is going on right now for the 23rd of this month, guys, for the biggest NBA mock draft event of the year. Locked On and local and national experts make the selections on Odyssey basketball experts, including Ryan McDonough. We had him on today, former NBA champion Brian Scalabrine. Coach Jim Pastis, also Chad Ford, NBA analyst. I mean, there's a lot going on, and you can get the latest information, get the picks, the trades, the insight from all of your favorite NBA teams by subscribing to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, Mike, let's get to tonight's game winner, brother.
Hey, man, we talked about it today in Guy Talk. It's Robin Williams' birthday. And again, obviously, had some health issues late in his life and then took his own life, which was so darn sad. But he would have been 70 today, and there's a million movies to choose from. From the gambit, Carl, from comedies to dramas to scary stuff, too. He did it all, man. What is your favorite Robin Williams movie? 404-741-0929. I'd probably say Good Morning Vietnam right off the top of my head.
It's Good Will Hunting for me.
Oh, great stuff. Right, that's stole my line. Hey, man, 404-741-0929. Your favorite Robin Williams film. Tonight's game winner.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, Robin Williams would have been 70 today, and obviously tremendous talent, one of everybody's favorite stand-ups, and again, the movies is a million to choose from. Guys on Twitch already saying Mrs. Doubtfire, their favorites. What would you say, Carl? I know you mentioned Good Will Hunting. I remember The World According to Garp when I was a kid. That's an earlier one, but... He always, it's funny because Popeye was the one he would always be ashamed about because how bad it was.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
He would always riff on how bad and ashamed he was making Popeye. But it's pretty funny, man. All right, your favorite Robin Williams movie. As the Braves are battling back, remember only 7 innings in these double dips, but they did show a spark, Carl, and the Padres are going through their bullpen. But it's 5-4, and see if they can, you know, salvage, again, what could be, Carl, taking 2 out of 3, which
lots
changes.
Lots of baseball to play, right, guys.
Right, and as Wes chided me for leaving the Hokies far behind. Look, the Hokies disavowed me. And by the time I was... Look, can I just put this to rest? Because, you know, Chris was like, what's up with Wes being snarky about you in college? Let me real quick get this out of the way.
Yes, you've laid this out. Go
I've
ahead.
Gone to four... I went to 4 colleges. The only reason I got a degree is because my mom wanted it because she thought radio was a fad. Even though when I was like 5 years into my career, she thought I'd grow out of it, Carl. But Virginia Tech was the only state school that would take my credits. Okay? When I was at Virginia Tech, they sucked. They were ready to run Beamer out of town. So I have no connection to the Hokies. That's it. And I don't like Fuente because he's never done anything. He won 10 games once with Beamer's guys. So I just don't buy Fuente as a head coach.
So well, he came from Memphis with all the high-powered offense stuff that they were scoring a bunch of points, and now you're in a better conference.
Right.
You know, this happens with all these coaches. Now you've got to prove it again, and he's got to do a better job of recruiting. But I'm with you. I'm waiting to see this magic Fuente thing that happened at Memphis. He was great there. I haven't quite seen it yet at Virginia Tech.
So Wes chides me for the fact that I went to four schools and I didn't go to Elon. All right, there you go. Let's see what we got. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Yo, bro, what's your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I don't know the name of it, but it's the one where he was a creepy employee at the drugstore, and he's taking photographs home with him.
1 hour photo.
Yeah. Yep.
Great movie.
Yep.
And he was super creepy in that
one. He was. Listen, his range was incredible, okay? If you can go from playing, you know, Mork on Mork and Mindy to doing high drama stuff like that, serious character. His range was incredible. So, yeah, I'm with you. 1 hour photo.
Yeah,
Mike, by the way, think about taking your photos now on your phone and having somebody develop them.
Well, you remember my buddy Munson. You met my buddy in Vegas who works in L.A. Munson worked at a photo lab at an old mom and pop photo shop. And he used to, and they, you'd go back, and I'd go back into, like, you know, where the guys would work, not the dark room, but where they'd have the photos, and they'd have all these personal photos of, like, look at this wife, and they'd make a bikini shot of somebody. Oh, my God, it was such a violation of privacy.
It really was.
So creepy. And
one of the weirdest things, I had a buddy that worked in one of those photo labs, and this was, geez, in college. I mean, because, again, iPhones, guys, didn't come out to the mid-2000s.
You had a camera on you.
You had a camera. So he's like, dude, you got to come see this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're not going to believe this. And I go, and he's got all these pictures developed. And this guy had all these pictures of different women. I guess he was dating. We didn't know. But it was. But at that time, think about it. It'd be like opening up your phone and having, like, five different women that you've had encounters with. It was crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, he knows this stuff is on this film, and he's having it developed. Like, people didn't care.
Right. So in 1 hour photo, Robin Williams, he gets obsessed with his family. I don't want to give it away. Hey, man, you're on the radio, pal. What's your favorite Robin Williams movie? Hey, man.
That's you? Hey, man. What's your Robin Williams movie?
The original Jumanji.
Oh, the original Jumanji. Okay.
There you go. That's a good movie. I enjoyed Jumanji. Now, they remade it with Kevin Hart and I think The Rock.
Yes.
Right?
They've made a lot of those movies like that. But yeah, Jumanji. The original one with Robin Williams. Good point.
Yeah, good call.
Hey, man. Robin Williams would be 70 today. That's why we're talking about him. What is your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Hey, man. Hey, I got to go with Carl on this. Good Will Hunting, that movie changes your life. The park bench scene. When he's talking to, you know,
about
Robin is so awesome in that scene.
Excellent. Right.
Yep.
When he talks about his wife and everything, and it's such a well-done movie. It really is. I agree.
Yeah. And again, you know, the ending of that movie is just so on point.
You stole my line. It really is great. Went to see about a girl. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Hey, man. The one caller stole my thunder with the 1 hour photo, man. That role creeped people out. But mine is the one with him and Kurt Russell. With Fast Times when they was in high school.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yes.
Which one?
They go back and they replay their rival high school, Carl, in a game. They're all in their 30s now. And it is hysterical.
Okay.
It's called The Best of Times.
Okay.
And Kurt Russell's the quarterback, and he's like a little white wide receiver. And it's a great line. We used to use it on a drop. We used to use it on the old show opener where he's up against his old high school, and he goes, I got to tell you, I am one fast Caucasian. Yeah, if you can find it, The Best of Times. Like, I love Kurt Russell movies, but it's kind of funny. Guys go back home for their reunion. They wind up playing their old rival. And Robin Williams' father-in-law is the coach of the other high school or something. It's kind of funny. Hey, man, we got time for one more, Chris. We got a jet. One more. Hey, we got some best of, and then we're going to get Atlanta United with pregame with Mike Conte. What, at 7:30 for an 8 o'clock tip?
That's correct.
Got it right. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, you know, Robin Williams had a lot of great movies, and I loved all that old stuff when he was on cocaine and doing comedy, you know, on stage. But my favorite movie has to be What Dreams May Come, and it came at a time in my life when I had lost a few family members. Not to bring the show down, But that has to be the best movie you ever did.
Wow. Listen, man, movies hit, things right. hit in your Connect. Life at different times. It's all good. I mean, it's a shame, to Mike's point, that you know, he's not around and we're not celebrating all these things on a birthday for Robin Williams. But we said it, mental health issues, right, Mike? We talked about right. this, that it brought a lot of attention to, you think everything's fine with people. You pay attention yeah. to those
and that's
around
a, and that's
you,
a tough one, because there's a tragedy in that. If you've ever seen What Dreams May Come. But again, the filmography just goes on forever with Robin Williams. But again, he's out. Like, let's hope he's in a happy place right now up in heaven.
This show is always protected by Mimecast, guys. You know it. Mimecast.com. Protect your organization against phishing, business email compromise, the risk of ransomware. We talk about it all the time. It's real. That's why you need Mimecast. The Mimecast message of the day, should I say, comes way of Brent talks about Nick Saban. We were talking about earlier, and I was going on about, you know, how does he do this? And this is Brent's comments to us. He goes, guys, as long as Nick Saban is in the SEC, this will be his conference to lose. He came in, took over the conference, and now Alabama is more dominant than they've ever been. He said, my mom and father grew up Alabama fans, and they loved Bear Bryant, but Nick Saban is the best to ever do it and way better than Bear Bryant simply because of the way that he's recruited and won championships in this day and age. I don't even like to say it, but you have to respect what Nick Saban is doing in the SEC right now in this day and age.
Right.
I agree with him. Good stuff, man. Let's get out of here and clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, thanks to all of our guests, including Wes Drew Ham, who joined us from the ACC Media Days. He just talked to us a few minutes ago, guys. It's online at Odyssey.com. We also had a chance to catch up with Connor Riley today from Dog Nation. We talked to our man Chris Goforth. We'll talk to Chris tomorrow, last day of SEC Media Days, as we'll wrap things up. And a big shout out to Ryan McDonough as well, who came on as our Odyssey NBA insider, talking about the NBA Finals. Hey, Chris, great job behind the glass. Again, Atlanta United on the way, guys. 8 o'clock kick, 7:30 pregame. Join us tomorrow for a big Thursday show. We'll see what the Braves are doing. They're down one run right now as we speak, 5-4. As Mike said, maybe they can salvage this game and win the series before heading to Philly. Let's hope so. Keep our fingers crossed. Bo Morgan, executive producing, Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, billions of dollars in rights for NBC to have the Olympic Games. I was watching some of the U.S. women's action this morning. I mean, it just looks terrible with nobody in the stands. All these venues, nobody there. You know, I don't know how this is going to come off. They've got thousands of technicians and camera people and everything else to produce this. I can't imagine this ever being anything what NBC expected for the ratings, Carl. It just has no juice. And I'm not trying to be anti-Olympics. It just doesn't look right. It's got no juice, man. Friday, we got to wait for the opening ceremonies. And I got to tell you, I think they're going to take it up on this one.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said he would not directly comment on a report today that Texas and Oklahoma are interested in leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC conference. Here's what's funny about it. Texas had to put out a statement to say, speculation swirls around college athletics. We will not address rumors or speculation. Okay, I'm not telling you guys it's going to happen. All I'm telling you guys is there's something to this. I don't think A&M would allow it, and I think they want to protect the integrity of what A&M brings to the SEC. With that said, it's a developing story. Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're a Vandy alum, and your team has just been traded to the Big 12.
It's pretty easy to lean on a guy that's like the size of a house, and that's what Hugh is. So,
you could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.